Well, something that we can forget is Booker T versus the Boogeyman. Well, actually, no, it was Booker T and what was the queen's name? Charmel,
Queen
right?
Charmel, yeah.
Charmel versus the Boogeyman in a handicap match. What the fuck, man? Why are we doing Booker T dirty like this, putting him in a match like this one?
Well, you know what was crazy, and I think you might know this fact, but Boogeyman was already injured before the match, so they had to cut the match time for this.
Yeah, I did read something about that, that he was injured before. But Boogeyman still ended up winning this match, right? Yeah, he did win this match.
Yeah, he won this match. So you have the Boogeyman win this match, who's already injured, right? Obviously, not on the script. But he beat a future world champion, and Boogeyman has never become a world champion.
Yeah, dude, I don't understand that, man. I don't get that treatment that Booker T was getting at the time. And also, apparently Booker T never won a WrestleMania match. Yeah.
Interesting. I didn't know that one.
Unlike the Big Show, you know, Big Show got his win at WrestleMania, and at that time, what I read was that Booker T never won at WrestleMania, which I thought was crazy. However, even with all this being said, like, the Boogeyman, who I guess at the time they were kind of taking him as like a serious competitor, like a real serious threat. He was undefeated. He beats Booker T. And even after all of that, Booker T says that this was one of his highlights in his whole entire career, getting beaten by the Boogeyman at WrestleMania.
Really?
That was straight from the horse's mouth. Booker T says that was a highlight of his career. And I'm like, what?
I've met Boogeyman, and he's a cool guy. He's a cool dude.
Oh, yeah? Where at?
WrestleMania 39 at WrestleCon.
Yeah, did you ask him if those were actual real worms, like shoot?
Yeah, worms? No, they are. They are real worms, and he still does it to this day.
What the fuck, man?
You can eat them.
Really?
You can eat worms.
I want to see you do it.
How much?
Nah, I didn't say that. How much would it take?
How much would it take? I don't think it'd be that pricey. I think pay for the rest of my WrestleMania trip.
What the fuck? That's hella money.
Well, I just need my SmackDown ticket, my Raw ticket, and that's it. Just my SmackDown and my Raw ticket.
Damn, that's a lot. Nah, dude, it's not worth it, man. Fuck that. Nah, yeah. Well, that's one of the reasons why Booker T said that this was a highlight of his match, because I guess him and the Boogeyman, Booker T and the Boogeyman, are actually really, really good friends, even at that time. So they got to work together. It was Boogeyman's, I think, first WrestleMania, which was a big deal for him, for Boogeyman, and for Booker T. So being able to work a WrestleMania with one of his friends was the reason why Booker T said it was one of the highlights of his career, you know, regardless of Booker T losing to a character like Boogeyman and never winning WrestleMania. Booker T says that was one of his favorite moments.
That's cool.
Yeah, so I guess you can't really be mad at that, but still, man, fucking insane. The next match, and I know you probably remember this match a whole lot because of who's in it, Mickey James versus Trish Stratus.
These two, I love their feud, to be honest.
I bet you did.
I did. No, I did. These two, she was crazy, bro. Mickey James was crazy for Trish Stratus, right? She was just obsessed with Trish.
Yeah.
Everything Trish. She literally took her moves. And if I'm not mistaken, I believe this was before she actually made out with Trish Stratus in a segment.
Oh, yeah.
That was shown on TV. I'm just saying. That one I got in trouble for. That one I got in trouble for that segment. I'm not even me.
Yeah. Mickie James went a little gay there for Trish Stratus for a minute, right? They did a little lesbian angle action there for that angle, which at the time you still saw a lot of that really like sexualized kind of content type thing.
Well, yeah, it was still the Divas era.
Mm-hmm. So it kind of fits with the times that, what they were trying to do, like edgy stuff still during that time. But yeah, Trish Stratus was the current champion. Mickie James was a psycho fucking chick, which she did a really good job of playing that role too, by the way.
Very much so. Absolutely. Sorry, I've also met Mickie James. That one was at WrestleMania 31. Also at WrestleCon, and she's a really, really cool, person.
Nice. So. Right on. The only thing that I don't remember that was kind of crazy was Mickie James went over, and she actually beat Trish Stratus at this WrestleMania, which I thought was crazy. Other than the lesbian part and the kissing that you remember, what else do you remember about this match or the storyline leading up to it?
Like I said, the biggest thing that I remember is her just being so obsessed with Trish Stratus that she would take her moves, right? And just being so psychotic and obsessed with her. And I remember she was just at the hip of Trish Stratus, and then Trish Stratus was like trying to kind of get away and break away. And Mickie James was not for that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I remember them just throwing down. I don't remember too much from this match, but I do remember Mickie James winning and becoming women's champion.
Yeah, and apparently this match, it was – the idea was given to Trish Stratus. I guess Mickie James, she did an interview a couple years ago also talking about this match and how she pitched this idea originally for her, Mickie James, and for Lita. And I guess, the WWE creative took it and they're like, nah, let's do it with Trish Stratus instead. Because I think Lita was involved with, like, the whole thing with Edge and she was really involved in that storyline.
Right.
But, yeah, this was originally supposed to be for Lita, which I thought, now that I think about it, it probably would have worked out, too. Either way, Mickie James and Lita probably could have had a pretty good match with a storyline like this, right?
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I still loved Mickie James' character, though. I wish that she would bring that psychoticness back. I know she makes appearances from time to time, but I miss when she was kind of crazy.
Yeah, for sure. And yeah, the last thing that we can add about this is, according to Trish Stratus, they got a standing ovation, her and Mickie James, from all the people in the back at Gorilla after this match. They're really happy with the match that these two women had. And, they're just trying to get away from, the bra and panties matches and, the goofy women's matches. And these two women are actually being taken seriously. So that was really good to hear about this match. So this match between Mickie James and Trish Stratus was actually pretty fucking solid if you go back. I think they went like a little over 10 minutes or something like that. So definitely a good women's match.
Yeah, it's kind of funny that you bring that up, how they were trying to get away from it. And I know that they were starting to, but to then have a Playboy pillow fight match in the same WrestleMania.
Let's just talk about
it. Kind of contradicts it. But yeah. We'll get there.
Okay, fine. All right, fine. I just wanted to get it out the way. But, all right. the casket match. The Undertaker versus Mark Henry. This Mark Henry was a older Mark Henry, a meaner Mark Henry, a more serious Mark Henry. This wasn't the sexual chocolate that was, sleeping with old ladies and giving birth to hands or whatever the fuck he was doing back then. So he was a more believable guy. For a second I actually thought he had a chance to take down The Undertaker, but it's WrestleMania, so... As we all know, Undertaker doesn't lose in WrestleMania until years later. But this match, however, was a little... Yeah, I don't know. It was kind of It was kind of rough to me, but what did you think about this match overall?
A little slower pace, but Undertaker did take some of those cool leaps, especially him jumping over the coffin. That was a pretty cool moment, mm-hmm. seeing him do that. Yeah, man, Mark Henry's a big dude, and you know, able to do some moments where he's able to, you know, Undertaker's able to pick up Mark Henry briefly, but you know, still capitalize and get the win. Keep that undefeated streak.
Yeah, he did. Undertaker was 14-0 after he picked up the much bigger Mark Henry for a tombstone. Somehow managed to roll his big ass into the casket. But the funny thing about this is, like, post-match, so, like, in between matches, when this match was over until, like, the next match in between, Mark Henry had to stay in the casket for, like, he said it was specifically exactly 8 minutes and 47 seconds. Mark Henry remembers this. He was counting the time because he's really claustrophobic. Is that how you say
it? Yeah, you're pretty much there. Claustrophobic? Yeah.
You know what I mean. Sorry, I'm Mexican. I have a bad accent.
Hey, me too. That's not an excuse.
For all the people that are listening, don't make fun of my accent. But yeah, so I thought that was really funny that Mark Henry, he told that story in the Undertaker's podcast. What was that, Puerto Rican hat or something?
Yeah.
Thought you were Mexican.
I'm Mexican.
Oh, for real?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. No, I'm just kidding.
Hey, I got the best of three worlds, man.
Yeah, there you go. So yeah, dude, fuck, I think that's pretty much it for this match. It was pretty straightforward. The match wasn't very long. It wasn't, for a casket match, it didn't really have a whole lot of, like, oomph to it, you know?
Right. It's not one of the top matches that I would consider for Undertaker at a WrestleMania, but it was a casket match, you know? And it was against a big dude like Mark Henry, and Mark Henry always deserves his flowers. And always puts on a good, you know, a good match.
Yeah, for sure. All right, this next match was really fucking crazy also. Shawn Michaels versus Vince McMahon in a... Was this called a street fight or a hardcore match? I don't remember, but it was no
disqualifications. No holds barred match.
No holds barred, and the feud leading up to this was insane because... This was literally the definition of long-term storytelling in this match.
Yes.
They brought back a whole bunch of old stuff, going back all the way to the Montreal Screwjob. Do you remember the Kiss My Ass Club?
I do. It was the funniest thing at the time, but it was also gross.
Yeah, they actually showed that on TV.
Yeah.
And I remember seeing lots of people being put in the Kiss My Ass Club.
Yeah, some people were definitely not kissing the ass, and they were in the ass.
Oh, God damn it.
Oh, man.
Oh, God. Okay. I remember Rikishi was one of them, right? Was he?
Rikishi was one that delivered one to Vince.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Shawn Michaels was one that was in the Kiss My Ass Club. William Regal was another one.
William Regal was one of the funniest ones because I remember he had his eyes closed and he just like slowly did it. That was a funny one.
I think they tried to get The Rock, but then The Rock ended up low blowing Vince McMahon, I think.
I do remember the low blow. Yes.
Was Kurt Angle one?
I don't remember Kurt Angle.
Do you remember anyone else that was in the Kiss My Ass Club? I feel like there was a lot of people.
If anything, it was people from the back. I don't remember who. We have to get a list, man. That should be another segment that we do.
Yeah.
I'd be down to jump on for a segment like that.
All right. I think we have to do that.
That needs to be a video that we create and put out. We're going to do the Kiss My Ass Club just to bring it back. And it could be also controversial because of the whole Vince McMahon thing, but it's also a funny club.
Yeah, dude. Do it, dude. Hey, do it, man. You should do your right. magic when you put your clips together. Hey, you guys remember the Kiss My Ass Club? Here's a list of all the members. I don't know, dude. That should be funny though. But Yeah, that was really big during this time in this feud with Shawn Michaels. Vince McMahon was just the nastiest fucking heel in the game during this time, like just the worst of the worst. He was threatening Shawn Michaels with screwing Shawn Michaels the same way that he screwed Bret. Which I think the fact that they were going back to the Montreal screw job a lot was the reason why Vince McMahon wanted to bring Bret Hart into this feud, you know, because it makes sense if you think about it. I'm going to screw you the way that I screwed Bret, and then Bret shows up and he interferes in the match or whatever. It would have been cool to see, but Bret was not having none of that at the time. I don't think he was getting along with Shawn Michaels. But they still threw Bret into that storyline, which I thought was pretty unnecessary, but man, they just did not give a fuck at that time.
This match, talking about the match, it had some pretty cool spots that I really enjoyed. Seeing Shane McMahon jump in, we, not that I enjoyed, but we had the Spirit Squad also jump in because they were really connected to Vince McMahon at the time. It was also the introduction or reintroduction, my bad, reintroduction of D-Generation X. We saw Shawn Michaels hit the chop, and that was another cool segment.
Because I think after this is when they got back together, right?
Correct. Yes, and they continued their feud with Vince. But yeah,
Interesting.
we saw him hit the chop. We saw the trash can go over Vince McMahon onto a table just to then be crushed by Shawn Michaels on top of the ladder going on, you know. That was a cool moment.
Yeah, Vince McMahon, he was in great shape during this time, and he took a lot of damage too, which kind of looking back now, I don't know how I feel about that. Like, the match was, I feel like it was a pretty long match. I can't remember the specific time, but it was for sure over 15 minutes. So I'm like, Vince McMahon, of all people, went 15 minutes blow for blow versus Shawn Michaels, one of the greatest wrestlers of all time. And I'm like, I don't know how I feel about that, man.
It's kind of fun seeing the boss get beat up, though. You know, Mr. McMahon, the heel, is always he's always been a heel. So seeing him get thrown around and beaten up is it's always a good time to watch.
How did you feel about Vince McMahon's performance overall during this match? Like his work, his selling. What did you think about that?
Well, Mr. McMahon is always oversells sometimes, a little too dramatic sometimes. Or sometimes he does his botches, but honestly can't remember his full performance.
Yeah, it was bad, dude.
Yeah.
It was bad. Vince McMahon, he's just the worst seller ever, I think.
He oversells, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
He oversells or he just undersells. One or the other. There's no
Yeah.
between.
So, other than that, Shawn Michaels, he kept his promises. He said he was going to beat the crap out of Vince McMahon, and he did. You know, he's going to go through to like these dark places that he's never gone before with this, you know, with the weapons and stuff. And he did, man. He fucking beat the crap out of Vince McMahon. So that was cool to see. Shawn Michaels won after the big elbow drop from the ladder down to the table. Who was it? Pro Wrestling Illustrated actually named this match of the year for 2006.
What? Over the Edge and Mick Foley?
Match of the year. Yep.
Vince definitely had something to do with that.
Yeah, probably, dude. I don't think it was better than Edge versus Mick Foley, but it was close to it, man. It was close to it. So I do gotta give, you know, Sean and Vince props for that because the match was actually not as bad. Like Shawn Michaels can make anyone look good.
Of course.
And he made Vince McMahon look really good in this match. So I think the match itself and also the feud leading up to it, I think that's probably a big reason why it was named Match of the Year.
Storyline, yeah,
The
I see
storyline
it.
and everything. So, yeah, definitely a match that people should go back and look to. And now we're moving on to the main events. This was a double main event pay-per-view. The first one was for the World Heavyweight Championship. Kurt Angle was a current World Heavyweight Champion versus Rey Mysterio versus Randy Orton. Now, this is the reason why we picked this one. So, let me have it, Soto. What do you remember from this match and anything that that stood out to you from the match itself?
Well, leading up to the match, right? Rey won the Royal Rumble in honor of Eddie Guerrero. I know we briefly talked about that. He then went one-on-one again before WrestleMania against Randy Orton, where he put his WrestleMania spot on the line against Randy Orton and lost. Randy Orton beat him, right? So then it was now Randy Orton versus Kurt Angle. And that crushed me, bro. Leading up to WrestleMania, I was like, no, like, that's your moment, bro. And you gave it up. I'm like, what do you have to gain? I remember being so mad because I'm like,
you were supposed to do it for Eddie.
You know, like, Ray, what were you going to gain from all you're throwing is your WrestleMania moment? Like, what are you going to gain from beating Randy? Mind you, Ray threw Randy over to win the Royal Rumble. So that's kind of what pushed their feud. But thanks to Teddy Long, he didn't make Rey Mysterio go one-on-one with The Undertaker, but he threw him in to a triple threat match for Kurt Angle and Randy Orton. And I just remember being super hyped for this. This was one of the first WrestleManias that I remember watching live with my grandpa, just at his house. It was just me and him. And, of course, cheering for Rey. And then seeing POD come on. And I'm like, bro, like, he's got to win. We're hearing the live song, you know, from POD. Mm-hmm. Like, he's got to win, man. He's got to do it for Eddie, too. And then he comes out, and he has all this Aztec gear looking super cool, dripped out with the with the headpiece and everything. It's just super cool. The match itself is not that long of a match. It's only about 9 minutes long, mm-hmm. from bell to bell, about 9 minutes. Pretty fast. World title match, especially for a triple threat match. But I was, when I was reading back on it, I guess some of the matches beforehand ate up some of that time. So mm-hmm. they kind of cut down this triple threat match. But this match overall, I like the storytelling that they still did within it, right? Rey got the pin over Randy Orton, right? So.
Or was I don't it remember Angle? Specifically I, who it, yeah, was, it was, but it makes sense if it was Randy Orton.
I'm pretty sure it was Randy, and then Kurt Angle jumped in. Yeah, it was. It was Randy at the very last second.
Dude, talk about one hell of a fucking emotional-ass roller coaster ride, dude. Even from the beginning. I mean, Rey Mysterio winning the Royal Rumble. This was January of 2006 when Rey Mysterio won the Royal Rumble, literally 2 months after Eddie Guerrero passed away. In a really big, heartfelt moment when Rey Mysterio won, dedicating the win to Eddie Guerrero. And, you know, we're all expecting Rey Mysterio to go to WrestleMania. He loses his opportunity to Randy Orton, of all people. The guy that Rey Mysterio eliminated at the Rumble. And everyone's all heartbroken now. Teddy Long gives him this opportunity again. And it just seems like one of those things that's like a miracle just happened. Rey Mysterio was not supposed to go, but by some miracle, he's going now to WrestleMania. And then he goes and he wins it. So it was very emotional time in wrestling. Rey Mysterio being 175 pounds, winning the World Heavyweight Championship was also crazy. I don't remember too much about this. Maybe the version in Peacock was piped. They had like crowd noise piped in, but I read something somewhere, and maybe you know more about this, that the crowd reaction when Rey Mysterio won was not the reaction that the WWE expected. Like, I think some people were actually booing the fact that Rey Mysterio had won it.
Oh, interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
No, I don't. I was too hyped, and I remember calling my dad because he wasn't around, and I remember calling him and telling him that he won. So I honestly don't remember. I was too excited as a kid.
Yeah, for sure, man. If that's true, I don't understand why how anyone would hate on it. Fuck, he did it for Eddie Guerrero, you know? So how can you be mad at that? That doesn't really make a whole lot of sense, so.
Yeah, real quick, you know how everybody loves "My Way" by Limp Bizkit because it reminds them of The Rock and Stone Cold for WrestleMania. "I Dare You" by Shinedown always reminds me of the Rey Mysterio and Kurt Angle and Randy Orton promo right before this WrestleMania match started.
Damn, so that's like your like nostalgia song,
That's
like.
yeah, that's my that's my way. Well, I was there around for the My Way too, so that's also
Yeah.
it's up there.
That's what's up. Yeah, I love like when I randomly hear those songs and it just takes me back, and then you just remember those video packages like,
Yeah.
oh shit, that was when that happened, you know?
Yeah, there are a couple of fun facts too about this match. We saw little Dominic Mysterio in the crowd that night after Rey Mysterio won. So they actually panned the camera to Dom and obviously his wife Angie and Aaliyah. But we see a little Dominic Mysterio. So if I'm not mistaken, that is his WrestleMania camera like appearance, like debut, if I'm not mistaken.
His first one?
I believe so.
No, 'cause he was before that he was in the Dominic Mysterio fucking
Right, that was for SummerSlam.
yeah, the what is that match called? The
The custody of Dom,
the
right. But
custody
I'm saying
of
his WrestleMania debut
Oh,
camera shot.
WrestleMania. Yes, for sure. His
I
first.
believe this was his first camera shot
Yeah.
for WrestleMania
Oh, okay,
22.
gotcha. Yeah, that makes sense.
And
But
then
yeah.
after the match, we had Vicky and Chavo who were there to congratulate Ray for the world title.
Yeah, embracing good old Ray Ray for winning it. Yeah, dude, but you're right how this match was really short. They had to cut it short. They had 21 minutes total, including the entrances. Kurt Angle had 2 minutes. Randy Orton had 2 minutes. Rey Mysterio had like, I think he said like 8 minutes.
Four. Really? That was
Yeah,
long.
Rey Mysterio's entrance was super long,
I
so
liked
that's
it.
like yeah, so that's like 12 minutes already. So the match itself was only like 9 minutes, but they had a lot more stuff planned for the match, but since they had to cut it, the match, according to Kurt Angle, he talked about that. He talked about this on his podcast a few years ago. He said that the match was more higher paced. It was more intense. There was like a more urgency there. So in a way, it kind of made the match a little bit more,
Exciting.
more exciting in a way. So I think it all worked out in the end.
Well, I'm happy with the winner, so.
Yeah, I bet. All right. I'm gonna let you tell us about this one because I
Yeah, for
honestly I
sure.
skipped this one, and this is
That's okay.
the bra and panties or whatever that they were doing. What is it called?
It's the Playboy pillow fight between Tori Wilson versus Candice Michelle. And this match is about 4 minutes long. So it's a very quick match. It was a match that was just a transitional match in between the World Heavyweight title and the WWE title. But the winner was Tori Wilson. She's the one who defeated Candice Michelle. There's not too much about the match other than this fun fact that I have that I love to share. Even without doing this podcast, I've shown there's a lot, and it needs to be known. But the very last WrestleMania for a singles women to go one on one in a non-title match was WrestleMania 22. Now think about that. We are about to approach WrestleMania 41. That is 19 years ago where we haven't had a singles. We've had non-title matches. We've had tag team non-title matches. We've had mixed non-title matches. We've had those. But a singles women's non-title match at a WrestleMania, this was the last one, WrestleMania 22. And I think that's important to know. And you weren't considering on talking about it, but it is an important match to bring up because of the fact that we haven't seen two women go at it one-on-one for a non-titles match. And it needs to happen. It's been need it's way overdue. 19 years is way too long. And I think and I hope that this year at WrestleMania 41 is the WrestleMania that we get a non-titles one-on-one singles match for women.
Wow, that is an interesting fact there, because I didn't think there was anything here with this match. I thought this was just like a filler match, just like whatever, you know. But that is a really important fact. The fact that no other singles matches between two women
have non-title
at WrestleMania, non-title hasn't happened at WrestleMania. That's pretty crazy. Who do you think, or who would you like to see break that record? First of all, how do you even know that?
I've been interested in the women's division for a while, and just that's just a fun fact that I came over within the last year. And ever since learning that fact, I wanted to do some digging, ensure that was it. And yeah, I've looked back. There's been mixed tag teams, and all that stuff. So every single one-on-one has been for a title. And that's great and all, but women deserve more than that, right? Men have way more one-on-one matches without the title.
Yeah.
We've talked about at least three matches on this WrestleMania alone with there was no titles on the line.
Mm. Yeah, you know? True. Yeah, that's important. And maybe now that, you know, we're mentioning it, maybe we'll get more people to mention it. Yeah.
Four matches, my bad. Four matches that were non-titles for men. So, yeah, it's important. You were asking me who do I think should be it. I think we need to figure out what happened with Jade Cargill. And if it ends up being Jade versus Bianca, that'd be the match that I've been wanting to see since WrestleMania 40. I just want to see those two throw down. We have Jordynne Grace now, who has transitioned from a TNA superstar to an official WWE superstar under contract. So I think it'd be cool to see her throw down. There's a lot of women that can definitely throw down. And I hope that it doesn't get taken by the mid-card women. Not that they don't deserve their WrestleMania spot. I need to see a non-title women's match.
At WrestleMania. Hell yeah.
Singles.
I would be down to see that. Yeah, dude. Hell yeah. I would be down to see that, because that would also mean that they would have to take the time and build something important.
Absolutely. They deserve it.
Hell yeah. Well, shit, man. Now I'm excited to see if they do something with that, man.
Yeah. I hope we continue to push that fun fact around and bring it to light, because the women deserve more action, more,
you know. I wonder if they know this. They know this. Well, effect. We gotta push it out there more, you know.
We do. And this was more so a gimmick match, right? Because it was a Playboy pillow fight match, right? It was just, like I said, a filler match, something in between, you know, the world title matches. You said it was a co-main event, and this is technically a co-main event. It's right in between the two world title matches.
Yeah, dude. I don't know, so, like, they did this just to be like, we can't have two titles matches back to back or two main events back to back.
Right.
Let's put this in there.
Right.
And the Sportster actually named this match, the women's match, the worst match of the night.
Yeah, it was nothing like, I don't even remember too much from it, right? It was a quick match. It was just something, it was a filler match. Everyone got up after the world title match and, you know, went to the bathroom and whatever. But I think it's an important match for now in history, looking back at it 19 years ago, because of what hasn't happened. And that's why it's important. Yeah.
That's crazy. Well, yeah, for sure, man. Well, I'm glad that we didn't skip it then. That's interesting. Well, let's go to the main event, the second main event. Triple H versus John Cena. These guys went over 20 minutes in this match. I think this match was like 24 minutes for the ugliest fucking belt ever made in WWE history. I would have just been like, you know what? Here, just take this thing. I don't want it. I'm not going to fight anyone for this thing. Just take it. Just take it. But did you like that belt, by the way?
As a kid, I liked it for sure. As an adult, I appreciate it because it was my childhood. But yeah, it wasn't, to me, it wasn't ugly, but it's up to
Okay.
opinion. Yeah, hey,
I
that's your
guess
opinion. You're valid for it.
I'm the only one that hates that belt, man. I never liked it. Everyone loves it, but because this is WrestleMania, they went all out with the entrances. Triple H had a crazy entrance. John Cena had a weird 1950s fucking gangster entrance theme.
Yeah, and we had a special debut for that WrestleMania.
A debut?
Yeah, debut.
Who?
CM Punk.
He did?
CM Punk deep. Yeah, he was in the entrance for John Cena.
No way.
You
How the
want
fuck
to
did
rewatch
I miss that?
it? You want to rewatch it? Pull it
Yeah,
up.
I will. I will. Let me see.
It's really quick, so. But yeah, CM Punk is in that entrance. He's on the car. He's riding the car, and that's the very first time you actually see CM Punk
You know
show up.
what? Now that I think about it, I remember seeing it and the entrance and being like, oh, that guy looks familiar, but like I didn't put two and two together. I thought I was just like tripping or something. Like it was just like it just went over my head or something.
Who's that?
Oh, right. That's funny.
Yeah. So I think that's an important moment too.
Hell yeah, dude.
And they were in Chicago.
Ah, that's right. It all makes sense.
Yeah.
See, I know sometimes like I don't go with my gut, you know, and I'm like I had a feeling I'm like 'cause it was like I feel like a split second, right? I'm like, "Oh,
Yeah, it
that
was a
looked
brief
familiar."
moment. He was
Yeah.
walking around the ring with the Tommy gun, just with some other people too. But
And I was like, "That guy looks familiar, but I didn't put two and two." That's so funny. What else it's important to point out about this match? Triple H was the heel technically in this match, right?
yeah, so this was WrestleMania 22, 1 year after John Cena won his first WWE championship, and that was against JBL, right? No.
I don't remember.
Who did he win his first? Yeah, it was against JBL. I
Okay.
remember that feud. I remember that feud, and then he changed the title from the WWE title to the Spinner. Yeah, so it was 1 year, so we're not even a year into this. What you call ugly WWE Championship title. But yeah, he comes out with a gangster outfit, all in this long coat, and he looks like wearing the coat like he's just gonna be a streaker, right? And open it up, and there's gonna be nothing under there except for his title covering his, you know what. And no, he opens up the coat, he pulls out this big ass freaking gun and play gun, whatever, shoots it up in the air, yeah, it was an interesting gimmick, but between these two guys, they put on a what I think was a so-so match, right? Compared to all the other matches we talked about. It finished off kind of lackluster with the submission. We had a Triple H tap out, which was the he had tapped out 2 years prior at WrestleMania 20, the same way in the middle of the ring against Chris Benoit, where he tapped out. And that's when Chris Benoit won his first ever world title. John Cena defeated him 2 years later to have him tap out again in the middle of the ring, and where he retained the WWE Championship.
Yeah, interesting. No, this match was really good because it was like a split crowd. Like for some reason, Triple H was getting cheered during this match, and that's how good this match was because John Cena and Triple H had the crowd hooked since the match started. That they wanted the crowd wanted to see like some want to see Cena win. You would think everyone would cheer for Cena since Triple H was a big bad heel, but that wasn't the case. But this match was really exciting after all. And this was also, I don't know if you probably mentioned this already. This was John Cena's first WrestleMania main event ever. This WrestleMania 22. which was a great moment for Cena because he won it by submission, and he retained it, right? Because John Cena was a champion at this time.
Yes.
So what a way to get a big WrestleMania moment, your first one versus Triple H for the title, and you make the game tap out. So one hell of a moment, one hell of a pay-per-view. Yeah, this whole pay-per-view, besides, maybe like the casket match, the opening match, the bra and panties match or whatever you want to call it, every single one of these matches, this is a must-see pay-per-view for wrestling fans to go back and watch it, right?
Absolutely, especially the Edge and Mick Foley match. Whew.
Yeah, most definitely, dude. But yeah, that was the WrestleMania 22. Anything else that we might have missed that you want to add about this before we get out of here?
Not about WrestleMania 22, but I remember the cash-in that RVD did,
Oh, yeah.
and it was the reason why I can't remember is because that he announced that he was cashing in, and it became the ECW one night stand against John Cena.
That's the one where they did in the old Philly arena where John Cena was getting booed out of the arena.
Yeah, then he lost. And that's why
Right.
it was a cool cash-in.
Yeah, I remember that match. I remember the reaction that John Cena was getting, but I forgot that it was like it had to do with like the Money in the Bank. So that's
Yeah.
cool. Well, right on, Soto, that was yeah, man, I learned a lot about this WrestleMania 22. So thank you for that, man. I had a lot of fun.
Appreciate you, man. Thanks for having me on. That was a lot of fun. I would love to do more of these, talk about any other moments. Again, I chose this WrestleMania because it meant a lot to me, because of Rey Mysterio. And although it was a shorter match for him, it was the very first world title for a man of his size. It just meant a lot, right? John Cena has pushed Never Give Up, and for the little man to come out on top, for a world title and from San Diego, it definitely meant a lot to me.
Yeah, hell yeah, dude. Yeah, I'm definitely gonna take you up on that, dude. Got to do this again soon. And before we get out of here, tell the people where they can find you.
Of course, once again, I am Soto619. If you want to catch any sort of Raw, SmackDown, WWE, PLE recaps or previews, I do post them on TikTok, Instagram, and YouTube, Soto619 or Soto619 Wrestling. So you can find me there. I'm always on.
Right on, and my name is Edgar. I'm the host of Snug Wrestling. Thank you, everyone that was watching and listening, and we'll talk soon.
Appreciate you.